This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, points for politics. Campaigns pick up tricks from video game contests with plans for interactive strategies to incentivize voters. And a truly inspiring music education program transforms the lives of impoverished children in Venezuela. El Sistema proposes that kids with instruments in their hands won't pick up guns. Now it's taking root in American cities. But we begin with the other diabetes. Celebrity chef Paula Deen revealed last week that she's developed type 2 diabetes. That news fired up the debate about personal choice and public health and put the global rise of type 2, commonly known as adult onset diabetes, back in the spotlight. Well, we've been keeping our eye on the spiking incidence of type 1 diabetes, which is now climbing worldwide at an annual rate of between 3 and 5%. Type 1 often strikes children, is controlled only by insulin, has serious health risks, and no known cure. Public health researchers are puzzled as to the cause of the recent spike. Maren McKenna covered the story in the February issue of Scientific American, where she is a contributing editor. Maren, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So let's start with the distinction between type 1 and type 2 diabetes. Can you give us a quick summary?
Sure. So they're interesting because they're diseases that end up in the same place, which is an inability to control glucose in the blood that eventually leads to really serious disability and often early death. But they get there by almost opposite processes. Adult onset diabetes, which is what most people are familiar with, happens when the tissues that help to metabolize glucose in the body, which are all through the body, in the liver and the muscles and the fat, can't process insulin, the body's hormone, anymore. Mm-hmm. Type 1, on the other hand, which occurs much earlier in life, happens when we can't produce insulin at all because the body turns on its own cells. So type 1 is really an autoimmune disease.
So public discourse and some judgments have come up about type 2 being, you know, the patient's fault, and I'm putting that in quotes, their overweight, sedentary lifestyle. Is type 1 genetic?
Well, that's an interesting question. The etiology of type 1 is still really being worked out, but I think you're absolutely right to say that we think of people who have type 1, since they tend to be children, as kind of innocent victims. As it's not something that we think of as something that they've done to themselves.
So big spikes globally, apparently, in type 1 diabetes. Specific areas of the globe seeing greater rises than others?
Well, the puzzle is that type 1 diabetes seems to be rising everywhere where records are good. Now, this is a little complicated, so let me explain. In order to know that type 1 diabetes is happening more, especially in childhood when it happens, you have to have good records for people from their childhood forward of their encounters with the medical system. That tends to happen most in single-payer health systems, which are mostly in Western Europe and to a certain degree in South America. So where there are good records that track people throughout their lives, which we don't really have in the United States, you can see those kind of rises.
And what kind of rises are we talking about?
3 to 5% a year. I mean, it is really significant. It's not something small. And as you suggested when you first started talking, it's really kind of a medical mystery as to why this is happening.
What are the numbers here in the U.S.?
Well, so the problem is that in the United States, the record keeping just hasn't been that good until recently because, unlike Western Europe or South America, we mostly have this kind of retail system where we just don't have the kind of records that follow us throughout our lives. But there has been recently one study. It's called The Search for Diabetes in Children and Youth. And it shows, it's a national study. Mm-hmm. It samples a number of medical centers in different states. And it is showing upticks that look like the increases in Western Europe. There have been a couple of smaller studies that have only been very local. There was one in Alabama, one in Colorado, a couple in various neighborhoods in Pennsylvania. They have been showing upticks as well. But the search study, it looks like those look bigger. The problem is that was just their first sampling, Search first published in 2007. And so you have to say in public health terms that that's kind of a baseline, mm-hmm. That the next time they publish the results of their samples, then we'll really know what's happening.
Well, let's get back to this mystery. What are some of the leading theories about the sudden growth in type 1 cases?
So the one thing that everyone agrees on who's looking at this, all the public health experts and the academic medical researchers, is that a change that is happening that quickly cannot be due to genetic change alone. Because we're talking about, these rises may have begun about 1950 or after World War II, but they've definitely accelerated just in the past 20 years. Genetic change doesn't happen that fast. So there has to be some kind of environmental component. You know, if you think back to the nature versus nurture debate that you hear so often, that this is nurture. This is something going on as children are growing that's happening. But there are so many different proposals, hypotheses for what this might be.
We're talking about the rather quiet trend of rises in cases of type 1 diabetes around the globe. Our guest is Maren McKenna, who covered the story for Scientific American magazine. Okay, so, you know, of course, there are a lot of things in the environment. How can we isolate? Talk about some of the interesting bits of, let's say, anecdotal evidence supporting this idea of a hygiene hypothesis.
So, you know, it's important to say first that no one has found, I guess, the smoking gun for diabetes. The most that they can do at this point is sort of explore questions and see if they get a confirmation. But some of the questions that they're exploring are whether there's something in the environment that's changing energy metabolism, and whether there's something in the environment that some infections in the environment that kind of affect our immune systems. Now, energy metabolism. So that might be how soon infants get whole milk, or how soon they get root vegetables. Some root vegetables, when they're stored, they have fungi on them that might actually affect the immune system. On the infection side, there's all kinds of interesting suggestions that touch on a hypothesis related to allergy called the hygiene hypothesis, which basically says if you live a life that's too clean early in life, then you're going to be overprimed for allergy as you get older. And the people who've done that work are saying, well, maybe that effect goes beyond allergy. Maybe it goes to other autoimmune diseases, including diabetes.
How about giving up on obesity as a possible cause for type 1? I mean, are scientists and public health officials still talking about childhood obesity, or has that kind of been let off the hook?
So this is really interesting, because the classic understanding of type 1 is that obesity doesn't play a role, because you get type 1 before you get to be obese. It happens so early in your life. But as you look around the world, we can see that obesity is not only rising, but it's happening in children at a younger age. There are a lot of very fat kids in the world. And so there is a subset of researchers who are saying maybe obesity does play a role in type 1 as well. Maybe what it does is kind of stress the system for producing insulin in the manner that it does in type 2 in a way that it kind of poises a child on the brink, and then the insulin system goes out altogether, and then you have type 1.
Oh, Maren, thanks so much for your time and for your reporting on this.
Thank you for having me.
Maren McKenna, contributing editor for Scientific American magazine. You'll find a link to her article called A Diabetes Cliffhanger. That's at wordofmouthradio.org, where we've also linked to some statistics on type 1 and type 2 diabetes here in New Hampshire. This segment was produced as part of NHPR's ongoing coverage called Tipping the Scales, Examining Obesity in New Hampshire, made possible in part by the HNH Foundation. Coming up now, One News program's creative workaround for being shut out of a corruption trial of a local official. We're going to hear about a real-life puppet court when Word of Mouth continues. This is NHPR.